11 minutes after 4 o'clock, Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. We take you up to 6 tonight. High school boys basketball coming your way at 7 o'clock. Cleveland Clinic cage matchup tonight features a little paction. Buckeye at Keystone. I will have the call alongside Gary Pelter. We're on the air at 7 with our pregame show. They'll tip it right around 7:30. Big day today. Final work day, or final day of the work week, rather. Not the final day of work for everybody listening out there before Super Bowl Sunday. A lot of interesting storylines surrounding the Super Bowl. We're going to get to some of that Super Bowl talk here in just a few moments. I would imagine Scott Petrak of the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com, has been a part of many, many good Super Bowl parties, and I'm sure he's had many of wonderful Super Bowl appetizers and Super Bowl snacks, so we'll get into that with him a little bit later on. But we'll start with some Brown stuff as we bring in Scott Petrak. Scott, a pleasure to have you on as always. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
So far, so good. I want to get into something that you wrote about yesterday, evaluating all the quarterback options for the Browns, from Kirk Cousins to all the young guns that will be available with the top pick in this year's draft. Is there any chance that they could both spend on Cousins and take a quarterback with that first pick?
I don't think so. I just don't think it's wise to, you know, spend, let's call it $30 million a year on Kirk Cousins, and then draft a guy who's going to sit on the bench for 2, 3, 4 years. You know, it's different from the Aaron Rodgers situation where he's the best player on the board at number 24 or wherever it was. You know, with the number one pick, it's so valuable. I don't think you can draft a guy and plan to sit him for whatever, 2, 3, 4 years, which would be the case with Cousins. You're paying him to be your starting quarterback for at least 3 seasons, and you could do so much more with that pick. You could draft, you know, potential Pro Bowl player. You could trade it down for multiple first-round picks. You know, I mean, so I don't think that's a feasible option. I think any other quarterback out there, yes, that's the plan, but not if it's Kirk Cousins.
In that same piece, you had mentioned that Alex Smith was probably the preferred option. Well, why is it that you would have seen him as the preferred option over Kirk Cousins in this scenario?
Well, because then I think you're set up for the present and the future, because you would draft the guy number one, but you have Alex Smith, who is really similar to Kirk Cousins, you know, 4 years older, but real similar type player. And I think both guys will give you legitimacy in 2018, a chance to win games, and not just a few games. I think with Kirk Cousins or Alex Smith, you had a chance to go 8-8 or 9-7, that kind of number, depending on what other picks you made or moves you made. You know, but then you still draft a quarterback number one, and I think Alex Smith could mentor him, kind of what happened in Kansas City last year. You know, he took him to the playoffs, and then they traded him to pave the way for Patrick Mahomes, and it just felt like that was a natural scenario. But what I didn't foresee, and I don't think the Browns foresaw it, was Washington willing to pay Kirk Cousins like $70 million over the next, whatever, 3 or 4 seasons. They committed to him as a starting quarterback for multiple years, and that's something the Browns weren't willing to do, because at 34, they would have drafted a quarterback at number one.
How come we haven't heard much about other possible quarterbacks coming in, like, say, Case Keenum? With the year he had and the quarterbacks they have there in Minnesota, if not him, I mean, could there be a possible deal for Bridgewater or Bradford out there?
Well, here's the thing. Those guys are all possibilities, but you don't know which one of those guys, two or three guys, is going to hit the market. You know, they could franchise Case Keenum. They could transition tag Case Keenum. They could work out a deal with Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, Sam Bradford's going to hit the market. I think we can assume that. But the other two guys are question marks. Now, if they become available, and they're both in the last year of the contract, so they could become available, but Minnesota can also try to keep them, then if they become available, they join that list. Sure. You know, and Tyrod Taylor could be on that list. And, you know, A.J. McCarron, depending on how his arbitration hearing in the middle of this month determines whether he's restricted or unrestricted. You know, and I threw something in that story. What about Nick Foles? He's not going to be the starter next year in Philly, regardless if they win the Super Bowl Sunday. And he's still under contract, but if you win the Super Bowl, even take your team to the Super Bowl, and the Browns said, hey, you can come in and start for us, would he be open to that? I think he would be. So that would be, if they decide not to go up to Cousins and decide to draft the guy number one, but then bring in a veteran so you don't have to rush the number one pick in, Nick Foles would be a guy, he would be at the top of my list of guys to consider.
Scott Petrek, Browns beat reporter for the Chronicle Telegram, also at brownzone.com, is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's just say they play that scenario out where they don't draft a quarterback first overall and they're able to get someone the caliber of a Kirk Cousins. Who do you think they would target then with that first pick? Because this is a team with so many different needs.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the first answer a lot of people would give is Saquon Barkley, because plenty of people think he's the best player in the draft. I don't think you can take a running back at number one. I wouldn't take a running back at number four. But if you have two top five picks, maybe you can spend one of them on Barkley. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick, I'm fascinated by. I really value secondary guys, and he can play safety, he can play corner. You can never have too many pass rushers. You know, could you go get Chubb and pair him with Myles Garrett and maybe, you know, Ogden in a kind of a three-man rotation at end? I could see that being one way to do it. And they could have a need at left tackle, you know, if Joe Thomas decides to retire. I think all those scenarios are possible. They need receivers, you know. And then I think if you have Kirk Cousins, then trading the number one pick becomes possible. And I know that might make some people skin crawl, some Browns fans, because they've traded down so often. But the reason it has been a bad move in the past is because you didn't have a quarterback. If you have your quarterback and somebody's desperate to get to number one, and let's say you only have to move down to number four or five, you get a pile of picks, to me, I would seriously entertain that, especially if you think there's no non-quarterback number one.
Where does all of this leave DeShone Kizer? Because I think when you look at that body of work, I think it is extraordinarily incomplete. And it kills me to have to compliment a Notre Dame quarterback in any form or fashion, but I just kind of feel like that's an incomplete grade. And I think when it's all said and done, it's going to be awfully tough for him to survive this, is it not?
Well, I think it's personally too early to give up on him. Obviously didn't win a game, struggled, too many interceptions, you know, too much inaccuracy. But if the plan is to draft a guy number one and not force him into the lineup, especially a guy like, let's say, Sam Darnold, he's only 20 years old, and he doesn't look like he's ready for life in the NFL, especially watching that bowl game against Ohio State, and you're committed to sitting him on the bench for a year, which I'm fine with, then DeShone Kizer can be your number two, right? Whoever's the quarterback, Keenum or Foles or whoever that guy is, McCarron, you can have DeShone Kizer as your number two. That's not the worst thing. And then if he has to play due to injury or poor performance, he's a buffer besides having to force your number one pick in before the team thinks he's ready. So I don't think you can give up on him. I think number two on the depth chart works fine for me, assuming the number one guy can be counted on. He's a credible veteran. I think you have to keep him around. And it's interesting, you know, when you write about or scout or listen to analysis about some of these draft quarterbacks, there's a lot of times where you think, hey, that sounds like DeShone Kizer. Whether it's Josh Allen's completion percentage, Sam Darnold's turnovers, and you think, okay, you know, and I know DeShone Kizer wasn't taken until number 52. But before his last year at Notre Dame, people were talking about him as a number one pick overall, the overall number one pick. He has those physical traits, which it's important to, when you see people fall in love with a guy like Josh Allen, think it's not all physical traits. That's not all that's necessary to succeed in this league, because Kizer's got all those physical traits. But on the other end, that's why you can't give up on Kizer, because he has those traits you're looking for.
Scott, we'll move on from the Browns now. We'll talk about the big game coming up on Sunday. But this is about more than just the game, of course. It's about all the other things that go along with it. I think that they could probably change the name from the Super Bowl to the Super Circus, given the media hype week leading up to it and all the other events that go on surrounding it. Everybody seems to find a reason to get together. So it got us to thinking before we started the show today, what's the best Super Bowl party that you've ever been to? You know, being around this game for a long time, I'm sure you're one of those guys everybody loves to have at the party because you've got the inside scoop on a lot of the guys that are playing in the game. What's the best Super Bowl party that you've been to?
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to let you down a little bit. I'm normally in the office, like putting out the newspaper, editing stories, kind of working on deadline. But when I'm not doing that, I'm on vacation, And I was on a cruise when New England beat Philly the last time, and I got engaged like the next night on the cruise. And I've also been in Vegas for a Super Bowl, and that was a good time.
You were in Vegas for a Super Bowl?
I was. The Arizona-Pittsburgh one. It's the best, maybe the best Super Bowl ever.
Wow. Okay, so we're 2 for 2 now because we had Joel Hammond on with us about a half hour ago, and he's actually going to be in Vegas for this year's Super Bowl. So,
is he really?
Yeah, so we're developing a little bit of a trend here. Matt Douglas just got back from Vegas last week. So I kind of feel left out here. I've not been to Sin City just yet, so got to make my way out there.
You got to go. Oh, I love it out there. We thought about going back this weekend, but we wound up going somewhere.
All right, well, you know, I'm sure you'll enjoy it wherever you end up going. And that brings us to our next question. Best Super Bowl appetizer or snack that you've ever had?
Now, I'm guessing chili. Does chili count as a snack, or is that too much?
I'd
go chili. Okay. I've been known to make a little chili and bring it into the office on Super Bowl Sunday.
Are you able to reveal your secret recipe?
Whatever cookbook is sitting in front of me.
All right, that works. See, chili works in so many different forms and fashions because you can dress it up quite a bit. You can use it as a dip in many ways. So it serves as both an appetizer and an entree. That's what makes chili so great is its flexibility and how it's considered. Well, now that we've talked about all the really important stuff, like the best places you've watched it and the best appetizers or snacks that you've enjoyed while watching it, what are your expectations for Super Bowl Sunday?
I think it's going to be a really good game. And I hope it's not a letdown, but I think it's going to be good. I think Philly has the roster that can compete with New England, especially on the lines, you know, defensive line, offensive line. I think Philly has a distinct advantage there, which should keep them in the game. And I'm tempted to pick Philly to win. I just think when you got Tom Brady, he's going to make one play in the fourth quarter to win the game. And that's kind of how I see it going. I think New England's going to squeak it out. I'm going 24-22.
So, okay, you expect New England to win, but you do not expect them to cover.
I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
You think New England's got a better defense than Minnesota? I'm just curious, Scott.
I don't think it's close. Wow. You look at the numbers. I don't know, numbers can be deceiving. And New England's played much better the last half of the season defensively, but their overall numbers are not great. And I think they're better collectively than individually. What I will say is, when you look at that defense, if Malcolm Butler and Stephon Gilmore play really well at corner, then it could slant to New England. But I like Philly's weapons. You know, they got a couple tight ends I really like. You know, Aguilar and Jeffrey at receiver. They got a couple of backs. I just think they can do a lot and kind of control the ball, keep up with New England. And I think, you know, it's going to come down to Philly's front four defensively. If Philly can pressure Tom Brady, especially up the middle with Fletcher Cox, which I think they can, that gives them a chance to stick around and limits what New England can do. If they can't get a pass rush, then it could get ugly because New England, I think, can attack that secondary if Tom's got time.
Going to be interesting to see on Sunday for sure. Scott, we always appreciate the time. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, guys.
All righty, that is Scott Petrak, Browns beat reporter for the Chronicle-Telegram. Don't forget to check out Scott's work at brownszone.com. We referenced the article he wrote evaluating all the quarterback options for the Browns, and that was a lot of fun because he not only goes through the pros and cons of signing Kirk Cousins, but he lists all of the guys that are currently being considered as the primary signal caller that could be taken with that first overall pick as well. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah, it certainly is. It looks like that's going to be priority number one for the Cleveland Browns as they head into this offseason, is to find somebody who can throw that ball to hopefully some new receivers for that team.
Yeah, and it's going to be an interesting offseason, although we always say that. I mean, at the end of every year, I think the misery finally sets in. You're thinking, you know what? The offseason can't be nearly as bad as the regular season, right?
I mean, this team has nowhere to go but up, and they can do it in a hurry with the tools they have. The question is, will they put the right pieces in place? That's always the question for the Browns, and typically the answer is no.
Going to be interesting, too. He mentioned something fascinating about the Super Bowl. If Fletcher Cox and company can provide some pressure up the middle. I didn't think that Jacksonville was able to do that very, very much against New England when they played them in the AFC Championship game, and I think that's part of what haunted them.
Yeah, I do too. I think they had a really good secondary, which is one of the reasons they were able to stay into that game. I don't know as far as the Eagles where that secondary falls. Obviously, it's tougher to prevent Tom Brady from doing things than it is Case Keenum. As good as Case Keenum played this year, they really shut him down in that game, but they got a lot of pressure on him. Interesting question I asked him there at the end. He doesn't seem to think the Patriots have quite the defense that Minnesota had. Philadelphia torched the Minnesota defense, so I'm intrigued to see how this one goes out. Like I said, I don't think Nick Foles is going to have to decide this. It's going to be all up to the defense of the Philadelphia Eagles.
All righty. Well, we are 27 minutes past 4 o'clock. That means we're way late for a break, so we'll take one now. In just a couple of minutes, we'll get to Your Money Now. We'll get to Matt Douglas and the local news, and then we'll come back here in just a few for the final 90 minutes of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
Ohio has many options for responsible gamblers, like horse racing, casinos, lottery, and bingo. Before you gamble, join the majority of people that get set before they bet. That means setting limits, knowing the risks, and taking the